Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is an old friend, Ed Cox, who has served three U.S. presidents, four governors, and the Republican Party at the state and national levels. He was sworn in as chairman of the Republican Party of New York State on September 29th, 2009. Welcome, Ed Cox. It's always great to talk to you. You're a guy who always speaks straight from the heart.
Well, Alan, always good to talk to you. Yeah. You do, too.
I want to discuss economic development, particularly Governor Cuomo's open for business ad campaign and his refusal, you say, to make any decisions on fracking. Go.
Yeah, look, economic development, he's got what is in essence a $3 billion members items, which he can dole out as he wants. It's very centrally controlled, despite its economic development regional councils. And he's going to use it for ribbon cutting for his reelection. And that means he will be picking winners and losers, and government cannot do that. Much better if that $3 billion went to helping businesses generally by cutting business taxes so that all businesses can grow in New York, just not the ones that he selects for political purposes.
It seems to me that upstate New York becomes a big battleground. Traditionally, the Republicans controlled upstate, Democrats downstate. Now it's getting to be somewhat more of a bluer state. But I think, based on Andrew Cuomo's rhetoric, Ed Cox, there is certainly an appearance that upstate counts for a lot. So you get things like these business councils, or you hear him say, yeah, we want gambling, but only in upstate, because upstate needs the help more than downstate does. So what about that?
His economic development program for upstate is three casinos, which there's a great controversy over where they located. Wherever they're located, we're sure there's going to be blight around them. That's what happens with casinos. And a lot of this is just recirculating money within New York, with the state collecting some taxes off the top. And it's basically a regressive tax. This is not economic development. This is politics. And if you go back to an upstate, that's particularly in the southern tier, where there's a lot of natural gas to be harvested by fracking, he can't make a decision on it. He says he's going to base it on science and facts, but that fig leaf blew off a long time ago. This is pure politics on his part. He's afraid to make a decision, because if he makes the decision, the lack of an infrastructure in the southern tier, it's all in Pennsylvania now, where they are created 57,000 jobs over the last 4 years there, and several billion dollars of tax revenues for Pennsylvania as far as most of the local governments there. This isn't happening in the southern tier. And without the infrastructure in Pennsylvania, and with the onerous regulations for the amount of time they have spent trying to take care of every interest in designing them, there's not going to be any, even if he passes the regulations, puts them out there, permits business to go ahead, business will develop very slowly because it'll be more profitable doing Pennsylvania than New York. You'll get hit by the strong interests who are against fracking. At the same time, the southern tier will say, what's happening here? Nothing will happen. He knows this politically. So he doesn't want to go ahead, and it's a political decision not to go ahead. It's not based on science or fact. He uses these political excuses. He's playing politics with the business of upstate New York. As a result, there's not economic development as there should be in the southern tier.
Okay, let's exclude fracking for a moment, because I have to tell you, there are many people who believe and have marshaled their scientific facts on this, that it is harmful. But let's assume for a second we can leave that alone, you and I, and say...
Just let me say, yes. There are 30 states, the only state where it's not being done is here in New York. There are 30 states where it's being done safely for a long period of time, and is a worldwide revolution. It was cited by Putin as a reason for restructuring his whole gas industry, which is very important to Europe. The shale revolution, he said, it's in Poland and other places, and the natural gas being here in the United States, the LNG, be exported, et cetera, is really having a worldwide impact. And the only state where it's not being done is here in New York State, because Hamlin on the Hudson cannot make a decision about it.
Now, you know that there will be those who are listening to this and are going to be saying, no, you're wrong. There's, you know, there are all kinds of horror stories coming. Yes, there's Gasland, the film, and all kinds of horror stories coming out, earthquakes and everything else. So I want to leave that alone for a second. You've certainly made your feelings clear on this, but I want to go to other things. What other upstate economic development would you like to see coming out of the Cuomo administration?
The best economic development, interestingly enough, here in New York, given our present structure, in order to keep new businesses here, particularly because we will be a high tech state, we need to be a high tech state. And that's nanotechnology, obviously, that is developing in the capital region and is spreading down the Hudson, creating jobs and up to Saratoga and across the Mohawk Valley. And here in New York, high-tech industries, Google, Facebook, are moving into New York because of the media talent and other talent that's here. And if you're going to keep the smaller business thrown off by this, the venture businesses, we need to be sure that the capital that's being invested is appreciated. At the moment, we punish capital gains here in New York State more than any other state. And as a lawyer who's worked in this area, I have seen my clients who develop their businesses here in New York State, they leave to a state where there's no capital gains tax to continue their business because as they sell stock and as their employees with their options sell stock over time, it is just not worth it for them to keep their investment here.
Now, Ed Cox, why is it that New York costs so much for government?
Well, no, I'm talking about capital gains tax.
No, I know what you're talking about, but I'm saying...
If I had a recommendation, I would say, let's stop punishing capital here in the financial capital world. Let's cut the capital gains tax, and we will find revenues will go up. As Charlie Gibson said in the 08 campaign questioning Barack Obama, every time nationally capital gains tax was cut, revenues from capital gains tax went up. So why are you in favor of increasing capital gains? And Obama's response was, it's a matter of fairness. Well, that's not really fair to the people, particularly on the state level, where it's even more punishing. It's not fair to the people in New York to drive capital investment out of New York State. That means less jobs, more unemployment for the people in New York State.
No, I get that. Believe me, I do. But I'm asking a question. You need revenue. You need taxes in order to support government. There's a well-known, fairly well-known Republican position, and you're chairman of the Republican Party, which is that there's too much government. Is that true?
Here in New York, we have overwhelmingly too much government. We are the most regulated state in the United States. Just take a look at Medicaid, which has grown to be a monster that's eating up our county budgets and our state budget, created by Rockefeller. And we expend more for Medicaid here in New York State than Texas, Florida, and Pennsylvania combined. And a lot of it's fraud, as the New York Times again pointed out in an article of last week. And that's fraud in the managed care area, which Governor Cuomo has said is going to save Medicaid. The fact is, it's going to be another fraudulent sub-monster within the Medicaid monster that's eating up our county budgets and depriving people of, particularly upstate counties, of the services they deserve.
Do you have any accounting, Ed Cox, for why Governor Cuomo's popularity seems to be going down right now?
Yes, for the reasons that we discussed at the start. He is all politics all the time and is not paying attention to the things that really matter to people in New York, and that's jobs and the economy. He doesn't understand what the drivers of the economy are, and he's more focused, and people in New York State, beginning of the state, is more focused on his other ambitions, presidential or otherwise, or just ideological and satisfying some of his basic political philosophy with respect to things that he believes in, rather than focusing on the things that the people of New York really care about, and that's jobs and economic growth.
He's been known to pick up the phone in the middle of the night and call people like his father used to do it. I've had a few calls here and there. Have you ever had a call from him?
Yes, we have. And they've been very good calls, I have to say, in which we had a back and forth, which was productive.
At one point, it was pretty well known in New York State that Dean Skelos, the Republican leader, and the governor were sort of on the same page. Now, there does seem to be some growing dissonance over several programs, and the Republican Party in New York State obviously has some troubles because there are now more Democrats, self-identified Democrats, in the legislature than there are Senate Republicans. But because of the sort of jerry-rigged system of some dissident Democrats combining with the Republicans, you got a Republican majority. How much do those Republicans have to listen to what Andrew Cuomo wants?
Well, you have several things mixed in there, Alan.
Yes, indeed.
First of all, look, we've got a very powerful governor. I don't mean personally, I mean constitutionally.
Right.
The office of the governor, as you know, is very powerful here in New York State. So he really drives the agenda. And this being a very blue state, frankly, of the 10 bluest states, and we are right up there with Massachusetts, the bluest. Number 10 is California. There are 20 houses of the legislature in those 10 very blue states. And only one of those houses do Republicans have any kind of a leadership position, and that's here in New York State. It's just very difficult to hold on to the House of one House of Legislature, even in a blue state. And so in that position, and we're very focused on things that are important to New York State. Fiscal responsibility is one of them. Andrew Cuomo campaigned on that in his campaign for governor in 2010 because he knew there's a tax revolt going on because of the extraordinary victories we had in 2009 elections in Westchester County, which is 2-1 Democrat, and in Nassau County, where Tom Suozzi was surprise loser to Ed Mongano. And as a result, he campaigned as a fiscal conservative and, in fact, governed in his first year as a fiscal conservative. But as he moved over to a more ideological agenda focused on the base of the Democratic Party, which would be necessary for him for any national ambitions he would have, and where his basic philosophy is, he veered away from the agenda that we have been consistent on. And that's accounted, I think, for some of the differences that have developed between the Republicans and him. Now, in all that context, and given that we only have one half, a little bit less than one half, frankly, of one of the three drivers of government, the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor, and the governor being as powerful as he is, there are things that, in order to have compromises and make things work out, that our leadership in the Senate has had to agree with.
Now, I can't disagree with everything that you've said up until now, but I want to ask you a question. It's a philosophical question, Ed Cox. If it comes down to this, that Cuomo says to his Democratic people, because I've thought, frankly, that he wanted the Republicans in power in the state Senate. If he says, okay, now you guys are giving me too much trouble, so I'm going to bring all of those Democrats into a room, I'm going to have a majority, we're going to kick the Republicans out, would it be worth it to you and to Dean Skelos to compromise to Cuomo and to bend to Cuomo as opposed to saying, okay, then we'll play the role of the responsible minority?
Well, look, we're not the minority. We're in a coalition of the majority in one of the houses.
Until he says no, until he pulls the rug out from under you, which he could do, you know.
Well, I think you're right. It has not been in his interest in the past to do it as long as we've been willing to compromise on some things in order to hold firm on the things that are very important with respect to the people in New York, and that's having a budget, not raising taxes, and keep spending under control.
Yes, from his point of view, you're right. No question.
And he knows that's important. As he said, you know, we can't keep hemorrhaging jobs and taxes. Being the highest tax state in the United States is not where New York should be. And the governor has been quoted on that, and he knows that having a fiscally responsible Republican control of one of the houses is important for him to, as a foil, particularly given where his party basically disagrees with him on his stand on that.
Just like his father did. No two ways about it.
Yeah. Having said all that, let's take a step back. And I think some thought was given as he started paying more attention to his basic philosophical beliefs And he and looking at national ambitions, but more recently, I think he's come to realize, and I realized this, we were down at the opening of the Bush Library last Thursday, and we were in the room for an hour and a half with President Obama and four former presidents and three of the four presidential families going back to the Johnsons, and everyone's talking, so we all shared the common experience of living in the White House over a period of time. And Mrs. Clinton was there, and of course, we've seen her on many occasions. There's no doubt, even though she didn't say it in my mind, that she's running for president. I think more recently in some of the things he said, Governor Cuomo's realized that. And I think that is a reality when you deal with it. He will come back to focusing on the things that matter here in New York State and will come back to working closely on the economic issues with Republican coalition. With the independent Democrats, and really focus on what's needed. I hope this will happen for the sake of New York, on the things that New York really needs at this point, as the economy is in a pretty perilous position at this point. There was really zero economic growth in the fourth quarter of last year, and it's looking pretty rocky at this point with the problems in Europe, and now it's becoming apparent in China also.
Okay, but I still asked you a question. You still filibustered a little bit, but you didn't answer the question. Given the choice, if Cuomo says, listen, Skelos, shape up or ship out, which will it be?
Can I filibuster again, Alan,
or not? Yeah. Okay.
I think that's sort of a Hobson's choice. I don't think it really comes down to that.
It is a Hobson's choice. You're right.
I think politics is much more subtle than that. And the point I'm making is I think that with respect to his own political philosophy, the governor's had tremendous success with respect to gay marriage,
sure,
with respect to actually progressive taxes. He raised taxes on the rich here in New York before Obama managed to do the same. And he, obviously, his gun control bill, he got that out. Bad piece of legislation that was rushed. It didn't address the problems of Newtown at all.
But great for the Republicans upstate, because that's where his numbers have gone down.
Well, and he rushed that out, but he got it done before Obama even got his gun control measures out, and Obama failed on that. Governor Cuomo succeeded here. I think a lot of that agenda he got done by his lights. He should see that as very successful. And given that he now really concedes that he would not run if Mrs. Clinton did, and he sees that she's going to, as we perceived, I think he will now come back. I hope he will, for the sake of New York State.
Okay, I got
back
it.
Back to our working with us, our Republican philosophy. We understand economic development. He really doesn't understand it, and he should be working closely with Republicans in the Senate so we do the right things in order to have real economic development,
not political,
cutting red ribbons and things like that, but really solving the problems of the people in New York State.
Okay, listen, I want to ask you a question. Campaign financing, New York City, you run, they give you six times as much money as you raise, right? Something like that, and you run for political office, and it gives everybody a chance, including all those who are not rich. What about your feelings about that? Republicans generally don't like this idea because they generally have more money.
Well, I'm not sure it's having more money. When you are in the minority, as Republicans are in all the blue states, once again, I say New York is the bluest of the blue states, along with Massachusetts. It is important when you have a chance to win something, a crucial race, that you can raise the money that's needed in order to beat the established Democrats. And that's why the Democrats like campaign finance reform. The problem is, and it's proven here in New York, that with New York here, we have a matching fund, 6-to-1, which is rather extravagant, use of taxpayer funds, and it has only produced more corruption. Malcolm Smith approached us, this mutual individual, a friend, brought us together. And I know Malcolm from charter schools. I know your son worked on charter schools. This is a cause for
you
all
working. Yeah, you know it because you hired him.
I did, and he did a great job. Very good. And Senator Smith was a part of that, very much in favor of bucking his party on that. And so it was a good conversation on a lot of the philosophy.
Okay,
that
he turns out to have ahead.
He wanted to bribe his way on to get the Republican nomination. I asked him, are you going to become a Republican? He said, no, I'm going to stay a Democrat. and to myself, he said, no way, he's up to something else. No way this is going to happen. Now it's clear what he was after. He was after that honeypot of money, a taxpayer money that's available to him so he could refill his coffers, which frankly, in the $2 million he had used, it turns out he used a lot for personal expenditures. And he must have known there's no way he'd get the nomination. Look at Comptroller Liu here and the trials of his staff for bundling. There's a corruption there again. Look at Wiener. Why is he getting the race?
What, so you, what, you mean
so you get $1.5 million of matching funds?
What, you mean? You mean Republicans are never corrupt? I know some upstate senators.
No, we're just talking about campaign finance. I'm pointing out that corrupted some Republicans also in this whole process. But using government matching funds is a corrupting influence.
Okay.
It is not an anti-corruption, but it certainly, in the end, helps Democrats more than Republicans.
I only got two more minutes. I want to ask you real quickly, and that is, there's something in New York, a weird thing called Wilson Pakula, which means you guys have to say to a Malcolm Smith, yes, we will allow you to run in a Republican primary as a Democrat. Are you for repealing Wilson Pakula or not? And you only got 1 minute to answer.
No, we need Wilson Pakula. It's part of the process so that the people who run on the Republican, anyone can petition onto it. Any Republican can petition onto it, but it is among Republicans and anyone else who wants to get in. There ought to be some clearing mechanism for them rather than letting them just petition onto it. Otherwise, you don't have people who are running with a consistent Republican philosophy on the important issues facing the state.
Well, there are a lot of different kinds of Republicans. There are Rockefeller Republicans and there's Greg Ball Republicans.
But we are, put us to the right, at the moment. The most important thing is fiscally responsible government, and we're consistent on that. And also with respect to economic growth, cutting taxes and bringing jobs back to New York.
Ed Cox, I don't know that that's true. You know, your father-in-law, Dick Nixon, I'll tell you one thing right now. Right now, he looks like a very liberal Republican.
Well, yeah, and he did a lot of innovative programs, but he was a fiscal conservative, and he acted as a fiscal conservative.
You're right. Listen, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you. Our guest has been Ed Cox. He always shows up. He always answers our questions, and it's always fun above everything else. Chairman of the Republican Party of New York State. Ed, thank you for joining us.
Alan, always a pleasure to be with you. Best to your son.
You're terrific. Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.